नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। फैन बंद करो। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 द क्रिएटिव इम्पेटस Chapter 25, The Glories of Lord Ananta, verse number 10. Light lagao. Turn on the light. Murtim Napuru Kripaya Babara Satvam संशुद्धं सद् असद् इदं विभाति तत्र यल्लीलमृगपतिराददे अन्वदायम् आदातुं स्वजनमनांसि उदारवीर्य मूर्तिं न पुरु कृपया बबार सत्वम् संशुद्धं सद् असदीदं विभाति तत्र यल्लीलमृगपतिराददे अन्वदायम् आदातुं स्वजनमनांसि उदारवीर्य मूर्तिं न पुरु कृपया बबार सत्वम् संशुद्धं सद् असदीदं विभाति तत्र यल्लीलामृगपतिराददे अन्वदायम् आदातुं स्वजनमनांसि उदारवीर्य मूर्तिं न पुरु कृपया बबार सत्वम् शुद्धं सद् असदीदं यल्लीलमृगपतिराददे अन्वदायम् आदातुं स्वजनमनांसि उदारवीर्य मूर्तिं न पुरु कृपया बबार सत्वम् संशुद्धं सद् असदिदं विभाति तत्र यल्लीलं मागपतिराददे अन्वदाय दातुं स्वजनमनांसि उदारवीर्य मूर्तिं न पुरु कृपया बबार सत्वम् संशुद्धं सद् असदीदं विभाति तत्र यल्लीलमृगपतिराददे अन्वदायम् आदातुं स्वजनमनांसि उदारवीर्य मूर्तिं न पुरु कृपया बबार सत्वम् शुद्धं सद् असदिदं विभाति तत्र यल्लीलमृगपतिराददे अन्वदायम् सदा तुम स्वजन मनाम से उदार वीर्य। माता जी मूर्तिम डिफरेंट फॉर्म्स ऑफ द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड ना अंटू अस पुरु कृपया बिकॉज ऑफ ग्रेट मर्सी बबार एग्जिबिटेड सत्वम एग्जिस्टेंस संशुधम कंप्लीटली ट्रांसेंडेंटल सत असत इदम दिस मटेरियल मैनिफेस्टेशन ऑफ कॉज एंड इफेक्ट विभाति शाइन्स तत्र इन हूम यल्लीलम द पास्ट टाइम्स ऑफ हूम मृगपति द मास्टर ऑफ ऑल लिविंग बींग्स हु इज एग्जैक्टली लाइक अ लायन आददे टॉट अन्वद्याम विदाउट मटेरियल कंटैमिनेशन आदतुम टू कॉन्कर स्वजन मनामसी द माइंड्स ऑफ हिज डिवोटीज उदार वीर्य हु इज मोस्ट लिबरल एंड पावरफुल। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन दिस मैनिफेस्टेशन ऑफ सटल एंड ग्रॉस मैटर एग्जिस्ट विद इन द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड Out of causeless mercy toward his devotees, he exhibits various forms, which are all transcendental. The Supreme Lord is most liberal, and he possesses all mystic power. To conquer the minds of his devotees and give pleasure to their hearts, he appears in different incarnations and manifest many pastimes. Purport. Srila Jiva Goswami has translated this verse as follows. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of all causes. It is by His will that gross and subtle ingredients interact. He appears in various incarnations just to please the hearts of his pure devotees. For example, the Supreme Lord appeared in the transcendental incarnation of Lord Varaha, the boar, just to please his devotees by lifting the planet Earth from the Garbhodak ocean. ओम अज्ञान्तिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षून्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नमः ओम विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामीति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे। जय श्री कृष्णा चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 25, Verse Number 10. Translation. This manifestation of subtle and gross matter exists within the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Out of causeless mercy toward his devotees, he exhibits various forms, which are all transcendental. The Supreme Lord is most liberal, and he possesses all mystic power to conquer the minds of his devotees and give pleasure to their hearts, he appears in different incarnations and manifests many pastimes. Hare Krishna. So in the previous verse, Sukadeva Goswami mentions that Lord Krishna, he creates this material world by this material manifestation by his glance. The Lord is present and then he glances. On what he glances? Everything is inside the Lord. Nothing is created yet. So on what he glances? If he glances on something, who created that something? If glance is the creation, if creation happens after glance, then he glances on what? And who created that? So this verse clarifies that the matter which is manifested also exists in Krishna. What we call is Mahatattva or Pradhan, the raw material of this material world, also exists in Krishna. This is a unique quality of Creator which is present only in Krishna. If there is some creator in this world who apparently creates a building or creates a motor car or creates a mobile gadget, the activity of creation, he does an object which is not him, which is outside him. And that material from which he creates a building, that material he doesn't create. Like somebody may create a building out of brick, cement, sand, water, iron. But this brick, sand, cement, iron, that he has not created. That somebody else has created. Now the one person who has created brick, he creates it out of sand and fire. But he doesn't create sand and fire. One person who has created cement or iron, he creates it from some other raw material. So if you go to basic raw material, that nobody has created. So when the basic raw material is not mine, how come the building is mine? If some laborers work very hard and create a 10-floor building, they say, I made it, so it belongs to me. No, you just take a 125 rupees per day. I gave you cement, I gave you brick, I gave you iron. Because the raw material belongs to the builder, so the building belongs to the builder, not to the laborer who assembled it. Similarly, all these people, whatever they do it out of raw material whose owner is Krishna. So everything which exists on this planet belongs to Krishna. The scientist will take one chemical and mix with another chemical and form a new element. And they get Nobel Prize. The first chemical was made by Krishna, you don't give him Nobel Prize. And somebody mixes it, you give him Nobel Prize for mixing. What is this? So Krishna is unique because even the raw material is created by him. The matter, this material manifestation is made of material elements. And those material elements exist in Krishna. Even though matter exists in Krishna, but Krishna is 100% non-matter. This is another unique aspect.
Matter comes from where? Krishna's body. But if you actually do chemical analysis of Krishna's body, there will be no matter. You will find only three things in Krishna's body. Sat, Chit, Anand. Anybody does this chemical analysis of Krishna's body, will he find earth, water, fire, air, ether? No. Krishna's body has no material element. So from where does matter come? It came from Krishna. But it is not present in him. He is transcendental. He is divya. He is non-material. He is spiritual. Not a tinge of matter is present in his transcendental body. Not a tinge of material qualities is present in his transcendental body. But still matter comes from him. Matter exists in him. If matter would not exist in him, then matter should have some other source. So there will be a competitor, two gods. Possible? Not possible. So matter also exists in him. But matter, when it exists in Krishna, it becomes spiritual. It is matter only when it comes in our hands. We are so great, see? We convert spirit into matter. Conditioned souls are so powerful. It depends on our consciousness. If I take a flower, it's matter if I think of enjoying it. If I offer it to Krishna and then this is spiritual. We touch it on our head. What is this? White paper, black ink. White paper available in the market, matter. Black ink available in the market, matter. Combination of white paper, black ink, matter or spiritual? We touch it on our head. This is Krishna. Non-different from Krishna. Such is Anand, spiritual, transcendental. Prabhupada says you can see Krishna on every page of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this matter also exists in Krishna. And he creates this material manifestation, gross and subtle matter. There are five gross elements: earth, water, fire, air, ether. There are three subtle elements: mind, intelligence, false ego. What is the difference between gross and subtle? Gross can be accessed through our senses. Subtle cannot be accessed through our senses. Subtle are beyond our sensory perception, beyond our sensory experience, but still they exist. Subtle is also matter. Though we can't see, hear, touch, smell, but subtle is also matter. In our modern science, physics, we studied in the childhood matter. One of the first chapter in physics, matter. How do they define matter? In 6th standard or 7th standard physics, that which occupies space. Everybody who studied remember? But did you ever remember the definition of space? No. They define matter but they don't define space. Even in masters of physics you will not define space. But you define matter, that which occupies space. What is matter? That which occupies space. What is space? Don't ask. That which occupies space. So mind is matter? Mind occupies space? No. So mind is matter? Mind is matter. But according to modern physics, mind doesn't occupy space. Intellect doesn't occupy space. False ego doesn't occupy space. So they don't know whether mind is matter or not. They can only understand matter, solid, liquid, gas. Mind is what? Solid, liquid, gas. Intellect is what? Solid, liquid, gas. And according to them, matter thinks? No. Mind thinks? Yes. Mind is matter. So matter thinks. So this modern science, it's not clear. Modern science is 200 years old. Bhagavatam is written from 5000 years old. Which is better? Still existing. Srimad Bhagavatam. But we have more faith on modern science. But the secret they didn't tell you. The foundations of science is very uncertain. Is very unclear. It is shaking. Foundations of mathematics, shaking. Foundation of physics, shaking. Foundation of chemistry, shaking. Foundation of biology, doesn't exist. What is biology? Study of life. What do they study? Body. Body is life? Body is not life. Liver, heart, kidney, blood, hands, legs, teeth, eyes, ears. Is this life? These are all organs. Body is matter. Body is not life. But in whole biology, doctors study only body, 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 and they say we are studying life. How are you studying life? You are studying body. That is not life. So no foundations only. So we should get knowledge not from the speculative theories, just born 200 years before. And we keep on changing. Every 5 years in the school your syllabus changes. If it was right, why did you change? If it was wrong, why did you teach? And it changes so much. If it is truth, can truth change every 5 years? Truth cannot change every 5 years. Nowadays they change every year. So if I today go for a 10th exam, I may fail. Because the syllabus has changed. So whether that marks which I got in 10th exam are valid or not, how do I know? So there is no meaning to this science. There is no meaning to this education. So we should refer to Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami, Vyasdev, Narad Muni. What they have given up till now, it has not changed. Have you heard Bhagavatam version 2.1? It has not changed. Vyasdev came and said, "Ek mistake ho gaya. I'll put an appendix to it." No error. Apaurishaya. Without any defects. This is perfect knowledge. So we should have faith on this knowledge. Even if this creation doesn't appeal to our logic, because we are educated in some other logic, we should have faith on this. Imagine somebody learns how to measure distances. And the only way he learns is a scale. You know, in compass box there is a scale, 6 inch, 15 centimeter scale. That is the only way he learns distances. And then he is given a project to find out distance between earth and sun. What he will do? He has only that scale and he will try that. Theoretically it is possible. Theoretically it is possible to measure. It will take few years, but it is possible theoretically. But practically it is not possible. Similarly, we, because of our education, had a particular logic. Like that fellow has a particular measuring scale, we have a particular logic. And theoretically this logic is sufficient to understand everything. looks like. But actually we can't use this logic to understand Krishna. Krishna is illogical. Like I say, the distance between sun and earth cannot be measured by the scale. I am not insulting the distance. I am insulting the technology. Scale is not sufficient. So when I say Krishna is illogical, I am glorifying Krishna because our logic, Krishna is illogical as per our measurement, as per our techniques. He is beyond our logic, he is beyond our thinking, he is beyond our intelligence, he is beyond our mind. Lord Brahma says if you make a spaceship with the speed of mind, if some scientist makes a vehicle which travels with the speed of mind and send it towards Vaikuntha, for millions of years it will not reach even the extent of the universe. Forget talking about Vaikuntha. Our mind can't enter the mysteries of Krishna. Our intelligence is inadequate. We can't understand Krishna. Our measurement, our techniques, our technology is inadequate to understand Krishna. The only way we can understand absolute truth is when we hear with faith the instructions of Srimad Bhagavatam. The authors like Vyasadeva, Sukadeva Goswami, Narad Muni, Srila Prabhupada, when we hear, then the raw knowledge gets revealed in the heart. Absolute truth is not an activity of mind or intelligence. Understanding absolute truth is not an activity of mind and intelligence. It is not that somebody will do a very great laboratory project and conclude Krishna is blue in color. Nobody can do that. Or conclude Krishna plays nice flute. Or Krishna wears peacock feather. Or he wears yellow dhoti. All this information, how do we have? Not by any research, not by any experience, not by any observation. Because we have faith on scriptures, so we have this information. We have this knowledge that Krishna is blue in color, Krishna wears a peacock feather, he plays nice flute, he wears yellow dhoti, he takes care of cows, cowherd boy. This is not the question of research. So even though matter exists in Krishna, even though matter is created by Krishna, but Krishna actually is fully transcendental. There is no matter in him. Even when we use matter in the service of Krishna, as it comes in contact with Krishna, that matter becomes spiritualized. This flower, this garland, before offering was matter. But now it is spiritualized. Spiritualized means when I come in contact with this object, I receive the same benefit I come in contact with Krishna. And what is that benefit? I get purified. If I come in contact with matter, I don't get purified. If I come in contact with this garland, I get purified. Which means this garland is not matter. But it exhibits the properties of matter. After some days, it will wane away. It exhibits the properties of matter, but it is spiritualized. Why it is spiritualized? Because it comes in contact with Krishna. And how do I know it is spiritualized? Because when I come in contact with this object, I get purified. I get the same result, same benefit if I come in contact with Krishna. So this is spiritualized. So if we come in contact with Krishna, we become purified. And there is no other way of purification. If there is a criminal in the society, there may be police, there may be laws, there may be jail. That only punishes the person. Doesn't make him pure. doesn't make him change his heart and stop doing criminal activities. By going to jail, he just stops doing his criminal activities for few days. After he comes out, again he starts. The desire to commit sinful activity is not removed. There is no change in heart. But when we come to Krishna consciousness, our heart gets transformed. The desire to sin, the bija, the seed of sin is also gone. That is a purifying effect of Krishna consciousness, which no other process has. No other material plan or material activity can change the heart of a person. Only Krishna consciousness. So by his glance, Krishna creates this material manifestation. Even though transcendental, he produces matter. He produces, creates this material world. And what does he do after creating this material world? He visits this material world. Now transcendental personality coming in the material world. He visits this material world and performs his pastimes in various incarnations. Why does he do that? He needs some picnic. Not enough in Vaikuntha. Chalo Bombay jayenge ya Uttar Pradesh jayenge. He comes here to attract us. Promotional events. Advertisement. He advertises himself. Have you ever seen a product advertising himself, itself? But Krishna advertises himself. Udar Virya. Krishna is very liberal, very powerful. Krishna is so liberal, so magnanimous, that if somebody offers him little service, he gives himself. He told the gopis, you have served me so much, you love me so much, you have given up your family, your household duties, everything for me. I can't even repay you. Even little service done to Krishna, Krishna feels very obliged. In Vrindavan, as a child, Krishna in the house of Nanda Maharaj once heard a voice. One fruit vendor Mataji came, shouting, fruit, lelo, fruit, take fruits, nice, sweet, ripe fruits. So Krishna thought, I want fruits. And he knows how to get fruits, give grains, take fruits. So he went to the storehouse and took some grains in his palms. And he ran. And while running, most of the grains fell. He couldn't hold grains. He holds all the universes, that is separate. But he couldn't hold his grains. So by the time he reached the fruit vendor, most of the grains were gone. And he was very morose and crying that my grains fell away. But that Mataji, seeing the beautiful form of Krishna, such a cute form of Krishna, she said, no problem, this is sufficient. And she took these few grains and gave him so many fruits he couldn't even hold. And he was so happy getting fruits. Some 4 or 5 fruits he must have got. And he turned back. And this lady, when she picked up her basket, she saw all the fruits are converted to jewels, diamonds and golds. Just because she gave few fruits to Krishna, Krishna gave her jewels, diamonds and golds. Anybody here? I give you few fruits, you give me diamond, jewels and gold? No, but Krishna does that. So when we come to Radha Raspberry temple, give him some fruits. Give him banana, give him a mango, give him chikku. And he'll give you jewels, diamonds, and more than that, he'll give you pure devotional service. That is Krishna. So Krishna went back inside with these fruits. And his mother saw Yashoda Maya. She said, Krishna, who gave you these fruits? He said, one Mataji gave. I told you, don't take anything from strangers. See, mothers always keep on telling this to children. That don't eat anything when strangers give. Don't take from strangers. So she told Krishna, I told you, don't take anything from strangers. Why did you take these fruits? Krishna said, there is no stranger for me. Maya scolded. Said, give me, chalo. And she took the fruits. She didn't allow Krishna to eat the fruits. Some stranger gave, how can I allow my son to eat? So what did she do? She distributed it among her staff. For 3 days, continuously she was distributing, they were not getting over only. And everybody who had that fruit said, I had never had so sweet fruit in my life. How the fruit's quantity increased and the taste increased? Because Krishna touched it. Coming in contact with Krishna, we become better. The objects which we think are ours, which we think we possess, we should offer it to Krishna, they'll become better. The prasad, the bhoga, which we eat, you offer it to Krishna and then eat, becomes better. Better in quality, better in quantity, becomes spiritualized, transcendental. And when we eat that, we become purified. Otherwise, every grain of rice we are eating, what we are doing? Papa, sinful activity. Every grain, unoffered grain or unoffered banana you are eating, that is sinful activity. Forget vada pav and pizza. So you should offer it to Krishna. And he gives millions of time more. Krishna's friend Sudama Brahman was very poor. But he didn't want to go to Dwarkadish to ask anything. His wife said, go, just meet, don't ask. He will see your condition and he will give. So Sudama Brahman went all the way to Dwarka. From where? Where is Sudama Brahman? Porbandar. From Porbandar to Dwarka he went. And he met Krishna. Krishna received him, welcomed him, washed his feet, fed him nicely, massaged his feet and everything. He didn't ask, Krishna didn't give, he left. But when he reached his village, he saw such a big palace. Krishna changed his village. So why didn't Krishna tell him in Dwarka that I am giving you this palace, I am giving you ornaments, your wife's sari and all this thing? Why didn't he tell Sudama this? Because Krishna thought, he is such a nice devotee, he loves me so much and I am giving him so little. So if you give so little to a person, you will feel shy to tell that I have given you. Some sadhu comes to your house and you give 1 rupee donation. You will feel shy. Kaise bolo main 1 rupee? Okay, give him. So it's like that. He is so liberal. He felt shy to tell Sudama that I have given you so less. Actually, he gave Sudama Vaikuntha. The opulence of Vaikuntha was given to Sudama. Not Indra. Indra's was very less. Even though he gave him Vaikuntha, but Krishna thought it is very less. That is his liberal. And he came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Namo Mahavadanaya. Rupa Goswami, as soon as he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he composed this prayer. Namo Mahavadanaya. Why Mahavadanaya? Why so much munificent? Because he's giving Krishna. Krishna giving Krishna. This is the highest donation, highest gift anybody can give. He is giving us Krishna. Giving us Krishna Prem. Namo Mahavadanaya Krishna Prem Padayate. Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Toshe Nama. Most munificent is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even Krishna doesn't give Krishna. In Bhagavata, he says, Sarva Dharman Paritaje, Maam Ekam, Pahile you surrender, then I will remove your sinful actions. He says that in Bhagavad Gita. He said, you surrender first, then I will remove your sinful reactions. He doesn't say, I will give myself. Krishna doesn't give Krishna, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave Krishna. So he is most liberal, most munificent. And Virya is most powerful, mystic. Yogeshwar, the master of mistakes. When Krishna killed Narakasura, Bhaumasura, and he entered his palace, there were 16,100 young princes who were kidnapped by Narakasura. Krishna told them, "You are free now. Go to your houses." They said, my dear Dwarkadish, we can't go to our house because Narakasura kidnapped us. Now if we go, even if our father accepts us, nobody will marry us. Because a lady is staying with Narakasura for so many days or years, who will marry this lady? So she said, no, they said, no use going to our kingdom, going to our house, nobody will accept us. So Krishna said, then what do you want? They all said, you marry us. 16,100 girls, you marry us. Krishna said, okay, fine. Immediately he arranged 16,100 palanquins and dispatched everybody to Dwarka. And then he was with Satyabhama. He went to Indra. Then he came back to Dwarka. He married all the girls. Now how did he marry all the girls one day, every day, one marriage? That will be how many years? He expanded himself into 16,100 farms. And there were 16,100 mandaps. And all marriages took place simultaneously. Now Vasudev Devaki, which one they will attend? They have to do this function. The father mother has to do something, na? So they'll do here first, then here first. Dula Dulan will wait. So what did Krishna do? He expanded Vasudev into 16,100 forms. He expanded Devaki into 16,100 forms. Even if a yogi is capable to expand himself, he can't come and expand you. Krishna expanded all of them. Then Dwarkavasi says, we want to attend all the marriages. We want to have all the feasts. He said, okay, fine. So he expanded each Dwarkavasi into 16,100 forms. So every Dwarkavasi attended each marriage. This is master of mystics. A yogi can expand himself not more than 8 or 9. Even if he expands himself, he can't expand his wife or anybody else. But Krishna, nothing. 16,100, he can marry 16 million, 16 crores, 16 billion, 16 trillion. No problem for him. He already expanded in, he is in heart of every living entity. Each of us sitting here, Krishna is in our heart. How many people are sitting here? Few hundred? So how many Krishnas? In the heart? Paramatma? 300? 400? One! How can there be more than one Krishna? Krishna is one. Absolute truth is one. But he expands into hundreds of forms. He is not two. He is one. He appears to be divided between two people. But he is one. Exact today, 12 o'clock, you see up in the sky. You see sun. Then you call up your friend in Pune. Ask him, what is up? What will he say? Sun. Then you call up your friend in Delhi. Ask him, what is up? What will he say? Sun. You'll say, oh, aaj teen sun hai. Ek Bombay mein, ek Pune mein, ek Delhi mein. No, one. One sun. But everywhere up, up, up. So one Paramatma, but in millions of forms. And all these forms are transcendental. He takes so many forms, he comes down. When Krishna comes down in a particular form, that form is called incarnation, avatar. Avatar means one who comes down. Not from second floor to ground floor. One who comes down, not geographically, from spiritual world to material world. Then is called avatar. Radha Rasbihari deity is avatar. Because the deity has come from spiritual world to Juhu. This avatar. Non-different from Krishna. He is not stone. He is Krishna. Rasbihari. So Krishna takes avatars for various missions. And all the missions correspond to his attracting his devotees, giving pleasure to his devotees, giving protection to his devotees, performing so many attractive pastimes. Why does he perform all these pastimes? So that we hear these pastimes and get attracted to Krishna. If we daily happen to hear about America, we'll get a desire. Oh, once I should go to America and see the roads, the buildings, the dustbins, the gutters. There'll be a desire in the heart. So if I daily hear about Krishna, I'll get a desire. Once I should go to Krishna. And with that desire I keep on hearing, I'll get eagerness. Jaldi jana chahiye, I should go. And with that eagerness I keep on hearing, I develop attachment. I have to go. From once I go, to I should go, to I have to go. So we develop attachment to Krishna by hearing about his pastimes. And it is full of entertainment. Everybody likes to hear about somebody else. Some hero we like to hear. Like so many Bollywood cinemas people hear. Why do people go to cinema? Same cinema every time. Because people want entertainment. They want masala. But Krishna Katha has all the masala. All the entertainment. Like one of the most famous script of Bollywood is there's a hero, there's a heroine, there's a villain. The villain goes and kidnaps the heroine. Then the hero goes and fights the villain, kills the villain and gets the heroine back. Most popular script, right? Every cinema this repeats. And people watch all these cinemas. Same story. Why this is so popular, you know? Because there's an original story about this. And that is Ramayana. Hero is there, heroine is there, villain is there. He kidnaps the heroine and the hero goes and fights. And so because there's an original pastime of absolute truth, so a similar pastime done by, not pastime, activity done by others, people get attracted. A cinema will be hit only if it contains truth. If it contains absolute truth, it will be super hit. The more truth is there in the cinema, the more it will hit. If suddenly in a cinema a person with 5 legs, 33 arms, 44 heads is shown, it will not become hit because it's not truth. So truth is in Bhagavatam, truth is in absolute truth. Truth is in Krishna's pastimes. So why to go to cinemas? So go to Krishna's pastimes. All the masala is there. There's one pastime of Krishna called Simantak Jewel, the stealing of Simantak Jewel. You have murder mystery there, you have romance there, you have climax there, you have action there, you have suspense there, you have thrill there, you have everything. Everything is there. Krishna's pastimes is wonderful. There are things more than what you can see in a cinema. So these pastimes are very attractive. Krishna's childhood pastimes are so attractive. His killing demons is so attractive. So we should keep on hearing those pastimes. His various incarnations, they are so attractive. Narsingha Dev's incarnation, killing Hiranyakashipu, protecting Prahlad Maharaj, Vaman Dev, Vara Dev, lifting the Mother Earth, protecting Mother Earth, killing Hiranyaksha. If you hear these pastimes, we get attracted to Krishna. We get much better entertainment. And we get purified. After seeing a Bollywood cinema, what do you get? Sheridan Goli. You get a headache. Then you take a medicine. But Krishna's pastimes, they are purifying, they are actual medicine of our material disease. Just by hearing them, we transcend the cycle of birth and death. Janma karma chame divyam. Krishna says, my janam and my karam is divya, is transcendental. If we hear about his activities, we get purified. We get free from miseries. Parikshit Maharaj, when he sat and heard Srimad Bhagavatam, 7 days, 7 nights, continuous he heard. He didn't stop in between. He didn't feel like eating, sleeping or going to bathroom. He just heard. He was so eager to hear. And seeing his eagerness, Sukhdev Goswami was so eager to speak. So that is Krishna Katha. That is Bhagavatam Katha. We should keep on hearing. In Chaitanya Charitamrita it is explained when Krishna incarnates. There are 6 types of incarnations. 6 broad categories of incarnations. The number of incarnations are unlimited. If you want to know how many incarnations come, it's very easy. You go to Juhu Beach, there's an ocean and there are waves. You sit with a chair there and count the waves. The number of waves you see is the number of incarnations. Keep on counting. One day it will end. So innumerable incarnations Krishna has. There are Purusha avatars. Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Shirodakshaya Vishnu. These are Purusha avatars. They create the material universes. Mahavishnu lies down on the causal ocean, Karna ocean. Then if you lie down on water, what will you do? You'll play with bubbles. A child like that, play with bubble. So he lies down, he says, let us do something nice. So he creates some bubbles out of his body. And what are these bubbles? Universes. Then so many bubbles, so many universes are creates. He said, now what to do? So he enters into each bubble. That is Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. He lies down there. He finds no chair there. So he produces his own sweat. There is Garbhodakshaya Ocean. Then he lies down there. Then let us do something more. So he creates Brahma in the lotus flower. And he tells Brahma to create the material planets. Brahma creates the material planets, living entities, but nothing works. So he expands that Shirodakshaya Vishnu and enters every atom, every heart, and that is how things move. So these are 3 Purusha avatars. Purusha means enjoyer. They enjoy, this is their game. Creating a planet, creating a bubble, creating a universe, entering into the universe, creating Brahma and sleeping there and creating the planets. And at the end, finish it. This is a game for them. Purusha, enjoyer, masti, maja karna. That is Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and Shirodakshaya Vishnu. Such a big universe, we just read in few chapters, such a big universe. It takes so many days to describe it, still we can't understand it. That universe comes out of one pore of Mahavishnu. One pore of Mahavishnu. He is so huge. That is Purusha avatar. Then there is Guna avatar. Brahma, Shiva, Vishnu. For creation, maintenance and destruction. Vishnu for maintenance, Shiva for destruction. These are Guna avatars. The 3 modes of material nature. They take care of that. Brahma is a demigod. Generally a Jiva tattva. Shiva is above Jiva tattva. Called Shiva Tattva, and above that is Vishnu, Vishnu Tattva. Shiva is not Jiva, but is not Vishnu. He is in between. He is a servant of Krishna. So that is Guna Avatar. Then there is Leela Avatar. Leela Avatar, Ram, Krishna, they just come and do Leela, first time, by their own sweet will. And these Leelas are what we should read. And these Leelas are what attracts us towards Krishna. You read Krishna book or 10th canto Srimad Bhagavatam, so many pastimes of Krishna. He's killing Putna, killing Trinavas, stealing butter, and playing with his coward boy, swimming in Yamuna, lifting Govardhan Hill, eating fire. And these pastimes are so attractive, can be completely absorbed, reading again and again. They are so fresh. Every Janmashtami we have same lecture, that Devaki Vasudev get married, Kamsa is taking them in the chariot and Akashvani happens. But every Janmashtami we hear, we feel it so nice, we feel it so fresh. That is Krishna's pastimes, Leela Avatar. Lord Rams, Lord Krishna and others as Leela Avatars. Then there are Yuga Avatars. The red incarnation, the white incarnation, the black incarnation, the yellow incarnation. They are Yuga Avatars. Yajna Prithu, they come in a particular Yuga to give the religion of that age. Like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and he gave the religion of this age, Sankirtan, Harinam Sankirtan. So then there is Manvantara Avatar. Every Manu is associated with one avatar. Yajna, Vibhu, Satyashen, Hari, Vaikuntha, Ajita. Every Manu, the duration of every Manu, there is one avatar associated. That is Manvantara Avatar. Then there is Satyavesh Avatar. Lord Parshuram, Narad Muni, four Kumaras, Jivas, who are empowered for a particular mission. There is Satyavesh Avatar. And there are many. So these are broadly six categories of avatars. And innumerable avatars Krishna takes in every planet, in various species, not just in human form. He appears in other species also. He takes all these avatars to give pleasure to his pure devotees, to give protection to his devotees, to fulfill some particular mission in this universe, in this material world, and to have his own pastimes. And even if the mission is over, the avatar goes back, he leaves his pastimes in the mouths of his devotees or in the scriptures. And we conditioned souls get to hear these pastimes. Like in Vrindavan, he performed many pastimes. These pastimes are still, though unmanifest, but we can hear about them. And when we hear about them, we get attracted to Krishna. Just by hearing, we'll develop love for Krishna. So we should attentively hear. When we chant the holy name, we should attentively chant. Just by hearing, will achieve all the results, all the success, all the perfection in spiritual life. Arjuna was confused. What did he do? He heard from Krishna. Parikshit Maharaj, he was confused. What did he do? He heard from Sukadeva Goswami. Vidura got enlightened by hearing from Maitreya Rishi. Prahlad Maharaj became such a great Vaishnava by hearing from Narad Muni. Prahlad Maharaj's demonic school friends became Vaishnavas by hearing from Prahlad Maharaj. Vyasadeva was despondent, but when he heard from Narad Muni, he was clear and he could write Srimad Bhagavatam. So everywhere there is example of hearing. We hear Srimad Bhagavatam and we change our life. Shravanam, this is a very important aspect of Krishna consciousness. So reading books, hearing lectures, hearing the holy name, performing kirtan, shravanam and kirtanam. These are very important aspects of Krishna consciousness. So Krishna incarnates in various places, in various planets, in various species and manifests his various pastimes so that we hear those pastimes. And by hearing those pastimes we get purified. And a pure soul one day can be fortunate enough to participate in such pastimes, to be an eternal associate of Krishna. So we should utilize this opportunity, should hear and read Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, we'll end here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna. If there are any questions, we may take, or any comments. Yeah, let the mic come.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for your wonderful class.
Hare Krishna.
Wanted to know the difference between spiritualized and spiritual. Like, you gave example very nice about Srimad Bhagavatam. So, when we say spiritualized, it retains all the material qualities also along with it? Or?
Yeah, spiritualized will manifest the effect of time. Like this garland will manifest the effect of time. It will wane away. Spiritual will not have any influence of time. But for us, we come in contact with spiritual or spiritualized, we'll get the same result. So this deity will manifest the effect of time. But for us, we come in contact with this deity, it's as good as coming in contact with Krishna, who is spiritual in nature. Okay? So spiritualized will manifest the effect of time, spiritual will have no influence of time. And the time's effect is degradation. But even if the garland after 10 days we come in contact, we'll still become purified. Even though our senses will not be able to appreciate the beauty and fragrance as we are able to appreciate it today. That is the limitation of our senses. Okay?
Prabhuji, may not be exactly in line with your class, but I have one important question. That devotional service is endless. We have to go on doing it, go on doing it. But the self-realization and God-realization, are they also the endless process, or at some point of time it ends? We get fully God-realized and self-realized.
We should come to you after somebody asks a question related to the class.
That's why I told you in the first.
Yeah, so you hold it, park it.
Okay.
Anybody has a question related to the class?
If anybody say he is a Krishna avatar, so how can we identify that person is really Krishna avatar or not?
So the first primary information should be there in the scriptures. The avatar and the appearance and the bodily symptoms of such a personality is already mentioned in the scriptures. And generally Krishna follows his scriptures. He doesn't prepone some plan. And generally Krishna follows his scriptures. He doesn't pre... That is mentioned in the scriptures. That is the primary qualification. So somebody who claims to be the avatar, his history should be already in the scriptures. And then there are secondary symptoms, his bodily symptoms and his karma, his characteristic activities are there. Like Krishna showed a universal form in Bhagavad Gita. But primary it should be mentioned in the scriptures. Okay? Then bodily symptoms are there, his eyes should be in a particular way, his palms and his feet should have particular marks. Okay.
One question is, Krishna, when a person is Krishna out there, he cannot become old. His body remains as it is, right now?
Young. He becomes a baby and goes till Kaishora, young age. After that he remains like that. But he cannot become old. He doesn't have beard. He doesn't have white hair. He doesn't have wrinkles. His teeth don't fall out. His vision doesn't decrease. No old age. His vision doesn't decrease. No old age. Nava yavanam cha. Always fresh. Always new. Evergreen. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, I heard one lecture by Srila Prabhupada said, there is nothing as material. Material means absence of Krishna consciousness. So you said material and spiritual are enlightened.
So it is based on the consciousness. If my consciousness is absolute pure Krishna consciousness, I see everything related to Krishna and energy of Krishna. So everything will be spiritual for me. But if my consciousness has sense enjoyment, material desire, then I will see matter. So we are not on the platform, on a higher platform. So we do distinguish between matter and spirit. When somebody is on a higher platform, there will be no difference for him. So it's there in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says everything is spiritual. But that is for him and for those souls who are elevated. Right? For us, there is a difference. Like Rajbhog Karela and Rajbhog Gulab Jamun. Are these two different or same? Same or different? So can you eat same quantity? For me it's a different. So when I am on a platform of discrimination, I can't artificially not discriminate. Absolutely same. Whether you eat Karela, whether you eat Gulab Jamun, you will get purified. But what is my platform? Karela platform, Gulab Jamun platform? So for me it's a different. So I can't artificially not discriminate. By not discrimination, I don't become advanced. An advanced devotee will not discriminate. But just by not discriminating, I don't become advanced. So, it depends on my consciousness. Suppose on the road there is a flower, and a goat comes, and sees the flower. What will goat think? Nice breakfast. Suppose a flower vendor comes, what will he think? Oh, 5 rupees. If I sell this, I'll get 5 rupees. Suppose a girl comes, what does she think? Oh, more my hair, I'll look beautiful. Suppose a boy comes, oh, if I give to my girlfriend, she'll be happy. Suppose a pujari comes, oh, if I take it and offer to Radharasbi, it will be so nice. So what is it? Is it eatable? Is it a commercial item? Is it a decorative item? Is it a gift item? Or is it a offerable item? What is it? Tell me. It's your consciousness. It's your consciousness. A goat's consciousness is breakfast. A girl's consciousness is decorative item. A gardener's consciousness is sale item. And a pujari's consciousness is offerable item. But what is it? What Krishna made it? We don't know. We know our consciousness. We don't know what he made it. Krishna consciousness means knowing the world what Krishna made it. You getting me? Suppose there's a fan here and these papers are going up and down and I can't read. So then what will I do? I'll take this and I'll keep it here. And the papers will not go up and down. I'll say, oh, the Samsung people make nice weights, nice paper weights. They help us to read. I use it as a paper weight. It worked as a paper weight. No problem. But if I tell this to Samsung owner, he will go mad. He will say, I have made mobile and this fellow is using as a paperweight. What foolish person. But it helps me. So this all technology we use and it helps us. But Krishna laughs on us. He says, I have made this world to serve me, to practice pure devotional service, and he's making his own khichdi. So we have to understand this world as per Krishna's creation, as per the manufacturer's manual. That is Bhagavad Gita. We can use the world for ourselves. Just I can use this mobile as paperweight. And it will give me pleasure also. But it will be foolishness. So it all depends on the consciousness. Okay? 17th chapter, there is discussion of desire plane. The world is a pervertry reflection on a desire plane. The upside down tree in Bhagavad Gita. So it's our desire plane, how we see this world. Okay, enough examples. Any more questions? Yeah, we'll come back to you. So, self-realization is not different from devotional service. A person who is self-realized, he will do devotional service. And a person who is doing devotional service continuously, he is self-realized. So there is no difference between them. But conceptually, if you are self-realized, then you have to act on that basis. Act on that realization, which is devotional service. And that is unlimited. Devotional service can go on, go on, go on. That is unlimited. Self-realization means I know my relationship with Krishna, that I am servant of Krishna. It stops there. But actually it's non-different. If you are walking on the road and some car comes behind and gives a horn, then you realize you are in between the road. Then what you do? You come on the side. So the realization is over, but you have to do something about it. You say, I am realized, but I'll still be on the road only. Then what is the use of that realization? I know, car is there, I know. Alright, you know, you don't know, there's going to be an accident. So if you know, you do something about it, you come on the footpath. Right? So once we know that I am servant of Krishna, we should be acting on that platform. And that is unlimited. Okay? We'll end here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna.